the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a question or want to call in today, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today's a Tuesday, so it's a day of politics. Yesterday was a Monday, so it was a day of business and economics. Tomorrow's a Wednesday, and I've lost my historian person. Joni Skillbred's not feeling well, so I'm going to change that around. But today's day of politics, and I have in the studio with me Dr. Barbara Haney of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. How are you doing, Barbara?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And I hope all of you listeners out there are well today.
Yes. Now, you know, you gave the example recently in the News Miner of what a community perspective should look like versus David James with a personal hit piece. So yeah. So thank you for being able to come here and discuss the subject matter in detail. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I just, attacking people just doesn't work well. You know, even somebody you don't like can have a good idea from time to time, or somebody that maybe you like but you disagree with often may have a good idea from time to time. So I think it's important to not get personal in attacks and just go through the procedures and processes that were used or that you're looking at, rather than trying to get into the weeds of personalities. And I think it's important. One of the things that I noticed about the Borough Assembly candidates that are, beholden to a particular perspective, put out a flyer.
You mean the extreme left?
Yeah.
Well, the Uber left.
They are advocates of larger government. Mm-hmm. And so what I thought I would do is just go through that original climate action plan and explain to people what actually happened. When I was on that committee, I really tried to maintain my judgment and not get all involved in the political editorials that were going on and on in the newspaper, and I thought, well, you know, you just got to weather the storm and do what's right. And a lot of people were thinking that, you know, I was called everything from a country bumpkin to an illiterate to an unqualified individual to a climate change denier. I mean, they had a lot of other names that were perhaps less polite.
They're very malicious and vicious.
But, you know, I actually took the time to meet with especially some of the kids who were involved in that movement. Mm-hmm. And I took their ideas and I showed them, look, this is not something the borough does. I appreciate that you're from Anchorage and your borough does this, but those aren't the powers of a second-class borough. And what you need to do is you need to look at Juneau or look at your legislator or look at your university. Oh, I see that you're for electric cars. Let me tell you why I'm reticent to advocate for those. And I went down a list of, because I don't think the technology in electric cars is actually settled. Then I also gave them some other instances, other vendors who are out there working on particular technologies that may end up being superior than what was being proposed in that climate action plan. Avion Alaska, for example, has been working on electric airplanes, okay? And they're not ready for prime time, but they're working on it. And so, you know, they just didn't have quite enough information, I think, to be effective advocates for their perspective.
Also, they wanted all in place and adhered to by 2030, I believe.
Well, there was a few things that really bothered me. First, mm-hmm. we have major actors in this borough. Let's be honest. The University of Alaska Fairbanks, the Army, the Air Force, We have some major employers like Kinross. There's a few other companies. These are major actors in the borough. If anything goes on with them, it's going to have an immediate impact. And they all have climate action plans. In addition, there are several smaller but very vital entities that are out there that were not consulted, one of them being GVEA. I mean, they're your power source.
University of Alaska?
University of Alaska was not consulted. Nobody from the Army was consulted. I asked them. I said, did anybody talk to you about this? And they said, no, we haven't heard anything. We didn't. In fact, I had people tell me, oh, surely that's not going on. And I said, well, here's the website on the borough website. So here's the page. The Air Force had no idea any of this was going on. In fact, I had called Mayor Matherly's office at that time. He was still mayor, and nobody from his office was consulted or aware. And yet this plan would have had a very major impact on the city of Fairbanks. And just, wow, you know, as well as Doyon Utilities wasn't consulted. It started with a land acknowledgement. Great. How about Doyon Utilities? Were they involved? No. In fact, they approached me toward the end wanting to know if there was anything that we could do to make it, you know, to advocate for something that they did, because I think they were afraid it was going to pass. And I said, well, I wouldn't worry about that. I don't think it's going to pass.
Well, let's see. They were the original climate action plan. Was the removal of fossil fuels.
Oh, it was far greater than that.
Yeah, I know that, but we're starting to go down the list. Removal of fossil fuels.
And banning natural gas. And
I know.
And,
I laugh because it hurts and it's stupid.
Well, at that time, we had just voted for LNG buses. Mm-hmm. We had the IGU trucking plan from the North Slope. And the U.S. Army had announced that they were converting to natural gas.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to advocate for a plan that bans natural gas? That is, I mean, it just was out of sync with what was going on in the borough generally. I mean, that's the truth.
Who on the borough assembly was against the final climate action plan that you were involved in?
Oh, the revised plan, yeah. Everybody voted down, including myself.
But there was, okay, who were advocates on the assembly for the first plan?
Mindy O'Neill, quite decidedly.
Yeah. Savannah.
I think Savannah Fletcher was quite a bit. And Mr. Gutenberg, I think, was a fan of certain elements.
Yeah.
And I do believe Kristen Kelly was an advocate for many of the elements in there. Some of the things that bothered me in there, and when we were talking about major people in the borough, Fairbanks Memorial Hospital is a major person in this borough, let's be honest.
Would largest employer.
Would love them or hate them.
Yep, okay? Largest employer.
And here it is. They wanted to ban single-use plastics. Now, I know that in their heart, they meant straws and plastic forks. However, they weren't thinking about IV bags and tubing and all the other single-use plastics used at the hospital. And yet nobody at the hospital was contacted or consulted about this idea of single-use plastics. And in the middle, we were just coming out of the pandemic. In fact, when this climate plan was put together was during the pandemic.
Now, the first group to put this together was the presiding officer, Mindy O'Neill.
Yes, it was. And
then an election happened.
Uh-huh.
And I remember Mindy and Kristen Kelly at an event. You know, Mindy came up to me and said, would you have done this? And I looked at her and I said, you should be glad that there's a climate action group at all, because elections have consequences, and this flipped that script. And what you did was so heinous, you should be thankful that there's still a group looking at this.
Absolutely, because there were people who wanted to get rid of it. I was willing to delve into there and learn some things and find out if there was anything worthwhile, because even a broken clock can be
fixed.
Right twice
change
a day.
Change out the battery, maybe.
Oh, it can be right twice a day if you do nothing.
Yeah.
I guess one of the things, if you look up page 19, was joining ICLEI. And at one time, Fairbanks was a member of this. If you're not aware of what ICLEI is, ICLEI stands for the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives. It's an offshoot of the United Nations. It's four times more expensive than AML, which we withdrew from. AML's the Alaskan Municipal League. Yeah. And we withdrew from that for it was extremely costly.
$40,000 a year to you.
Oh, more than that. Oh, well, that was just the entry fee.
Just the dues, yeah.
ICLEI was like six times more of that. And then you had to buy their ClearPath software. You had to buy their Analyze Act Accelerate software, which takes over your public policy, basically. Your ICLEI is an arm of the United Nations. Your policy then gets driven by United Nations. And you can always tell when you're in an ICLEI community because the people are running around going, what's going on here? This is not what I voted for. Who are these people? And the people who got elected are like, what's going on here? We didn't approve this. What's going on here? And that's how you know that you have an ICLEI-run community.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break real fast. We're at 907-458-8255, 907-458-TALK. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Tune in to Shooter's Corner, your source for news and conversation regarding guns, local events, and your Second Amendment rights, with your host, Laura Berkowitz. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design, an Alaskan company offering products that help you get the most out of your car or truck. Moose lights, auto starts, bug shields, spray-on bed liners, signs, graphics, and more. Visit Auto Trim Design and listen in every Thursday morning at 11 to Shooter's Corner, right here on KFAR Radio.
Too much stuff around the house? Have a construction site you want to secure tools and materials while you build? Great news! Independent Rental has your storage solution. We rent brand new 20 and 40 foot storage containers. Store your goods on site here at South Cushman, or we'll bring the container to you. Prices starting at $150 per month. We store vehicles too. Call today. Independent Rental Storage. Safe, secure, affordable.
You know that the Fairbanks Hearing and Ballot Center prides itself in having the best qualified professional and licensed audiologists in the state. They're proud to announce the addition of Dr. Alexandria Jackson to their team. Dr. Jackson hails from Texas and is passionate about helping patients with hearing and balance dysfunction challenges, and she specializes in diagnosis of both adult and pediatric patients. She joins the experts and medical professionals at the Fairbanks Hearing and Ballot Center, where they can help you with your hearing loss. Find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Find Bridgestone and Cooper tires for every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. Everything you tow. GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR. Weather.
Mainly sunny today with highs around 46. North winds around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Lows around 27. Daytime highs approaching 41. Tomorrow, cloudy. Low 40s Thursday. Mid 40s Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Barbara Haney, Assembly Member. We have a phone call lined up. We're going to take a moment here to go through one more item before we take the phone call.
I think what the other thing that's important, too, is if you look on page 23 of the Climate Action Plan, besides being a member of this United Nations thing, we would also have our planning and platting use would be used to achieve environmental goals.
Oh, my goodness.
So, basically, the tax the rainwater kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It would have increased the number of borough employees. They wanted a grant writing staff, and they wanted a, and this was the big one that was a deal breaker for me. They wanted a climate czar who would check in daily with every one of the mayor's frontline people to see what they were doing that day to reduce carbon emissions. And I'm just like, that sounds kind of brown shirtish to me.
Yeah, that's.
And our
they really put this together.
Yes. And our borough lobbyists would be obligated to lobby the state legislature for climate initiatives. And we would also have to pay a fee to ICLEI for federal climate initiative lobbying. And it would have also required us to take over the school board because it had lots of curriculum requirements in it. And our borough assembly has nothing to do with curriculum. We give them the money and say, spend it well. This is what we'd like to see, but, whatever. And the assembly doesn't have that authority. So we would have had to take over the local school board. And there were several policy initiatives that related specifically to GBEA. And so that elected body would have to be absorbed by the borough as well in order to achieve those objectives.
Total political grab.
Yeah.
Total political
grab. And we would have had to reclassify as a first-class borough because there's no way as a second-class borough. We don't have workforce powers right now. Now, there were some ideas that were okay. And I said, well, why don't I take, for example, there's one on workforce development. I said, well, the borough doesn't have these powers. I would like to take this and send it to Commissioner Munoz. Mm-hmm. And Kathy Munoz had just taken over as commissioner. And I said, I'd be very happy to forward this to her and get her input and see if this is something of interest. I was voted down. They didn't want that to go to the state even. It was like, no.
It's ours. It's ours. We don't share power.
Yeah. And there were so many initiatives that really we would have been telling the state what to do. I mean, there's one on streetlights. It had nothing to do with climate change. I just said, are you seriously going to tell DOT? You think you have the authority to tell DOT what kind of lights to use on state roads? And it got really quiet. Every meeting we would start, I mean, there were so many things in there that were outrageous. They seemed like reasonable ideas until you start looking at the legal authority to implement it. Every meeting on the revised committee, we would begin with a statement by the borough attorney, whoever it was, and there were two or three different borough attorneys that would go through what were legal and what were not legal borough activities. I mean, what were within our powers and mm-hmm. what was not. So a lot of the things that got cut were cut not because they were bad ideas necessarily, even though I thought some of them were.
They just were illegal.
But they just weren't within the authority of the borough to undertake.
Ready for a phone call?
Yes.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Dr. Barbara Haney, and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel. How are you doing?
You just answered my question because I tuned in late as I often do, and I often have no idea who you're talking to. And you do a less than adequate job on it. I didn't even know who you're speaking with. So I just wanted to know who you're talking to. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Well, that's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I think the idea of the borough assembly taking over the school board, I mean, I know there are days like, but generally speaking, I just think, you know, we have a school board, they're elected, they're given a mission, the assembly gives them the money. I don't think we should be writing plans on what they should be doing. That's something that they should be writing.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I just, when I looked at some of the things I wanted to do with GBEA, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, these are elected people. They have an elected body. If I don't like what they're doing, then I can run for GBEA. I mean,
I'm not here to supersede it as an assembly member.
Yeah.
That's what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
In their first plan.
Yeah, they were. And I think the other part was using the carbon dashboard. So every day you could go to this dashboard and find out how much carbon your residence was using. It's like, no, we changed that to an online checkbook.
Ready for another phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Dr. Barbara Haney, assembly member, and your name is?
Lloyd Hilling.
Hello, Lloyd Hilling. How are you doing?
Oh, just top notch. Thank you. I'm just very inspired by Barbara's presentation today. Barbara was a professor at the University of Alaska Economics Department when I was in grad school, and she was my advisor, and we'd have more fun tussling with ideas. I like to think that she's moved into a more correct position these days, LOL.
You mean working with Mike Prox? Keeping Mike in line? I concur.
Anyway, well, she was directly responsible for me landing an adjunct faculty job the last 25 years, and indirectly me getting on city council. Anyway, she's just top notch, and Barbara, I'm just so proud of you. This interview you're having with the mayor is sterling. Your knowledge and responses, I'm just really tickled. And you ever run for mayor, by gum, you give me a call. I'll back you.
Okay, thank you very much, Lloyd. It was wonderful to get you elected to city council too. By the way. Those were good times. Good times, my friend.
Indeed, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right.
Lloyd, thank you for the call. You have a great morning.
So, anyway, let me talk a little bit about the accomplishments besides pulling out of the Climate Action Plan that this new assembly gave you. As I know, when Brett Roderman and I were elected, there were a lot of people going, okay, let's see, we're in for a ride. And so one of the first things, obviously, was to reformulate the Climate Action Plan Committee. But the others, we pulled the borough out of the Alaska Municipal League because it was costing us lots and lots of money. We stopped the Climate Action Plan. We have been consolidating boards and reducing, and a lot of people are like, well, that's participatory democracy. Well, first, we have a republic. But second, you know, every time you have one of these citizen commission meetings, all the staff shows up. And so we were being eaten alive by overtime expenses because these guys were meeting all the time. Now, the mayor still has the ability to call for a special meeting if it's needed. But we combined boards, reduced their meeting times to quarterly to save on staff costs, especially the attorney's costs, because she's got to be at every one of these meetings. We obtained some legal settlements that were in litigation, and I'm not free to talk about those, but there were some very expensive litigation going on, and we put an end to it. We found contracts that should have been terminated after the Ban the Ban ordinance. I don't know if you remember, many of you years ago, we had this thing called Ban the Ban, which banned the borough assembly from regulating air quality. And we still found some contracts that were around that were left over from that, that were still being funded by the borough assembly. So we ended that. We're collecting data for the state and federal government to come in and tell us what to do. Why are we doing that? If they want the data, they can come down and do it. We also, one of my favorite and the most fun was there was one night I went in there and there was an RFW or some kind of request bid by somebody. It was a multifunctional devices on a NASBO. I'm like, oh, we're buying Optimus Prime.
Oh my goodness.
It turned out these multifunctional devices were simply printer scanners for this borough staff. And that's fine. It was a $5 million contract. And I'm just like, whoa. I mean, like, what do these things do? Do they clean my house? Or
they better.
Do I do my nails? I mean, like, do I put my fingers in there and I got a polish or what's going on? Well, then it turned out that they did it on this thing called NASBO, which is this electronic National Association of State, Borough, or State and Local Vendors. Mm-hmm. And they're like a pre-approved contract. Well, we had local vendors who were waiting for this contract to come out, and they actually had the identical machine, and it never went out for a local bid. So we kind of got the mayor into a thing and kind of forced him to take the local bids. And many of the assembly members learned that evening, where do you find these bids? How are they advertised? All that good stuff. So a lot of good things came out of it. But the most important thing is we got a local bid that was actually lower in price than what the mayor had found on this NASBO thing. So that was pretty good. We got the online checkbook. We also changed the appeal process for nonprofits. And if you read the Alaska Watchman, I wrote a little article on that this weekend, too. We changed the appeal process for nonprofits so they could go to the Board of Equalization rather than going directly to litigation. Right now, the way it was is if you were the food bank and you were being taxed and you wanted to appeal it, you had to go to court. Well, why are we even taxing the food bank? So by creating this board, allowing them to go to the Board of Equalization, at least they don't have to hire an attorney to challenge the assessor. We stopped some zoning things in remote areas. Why are we zoning in the remote area of the borough? If somebody's out of the very edge of the borough, we shouldn't be zoning them. And we definitely should not be requiring a conditional use permit for their airplanes.
Oh, my what? God.
We made it possible to landowners to divert trails off their land and to compensate them if they decided to allow a trail on their land. And that was several nights of assembly meetings.
Barbara, we're going to take a commercial break here.
Okay.
And we'll come back to that when we're done. Fairbanks, I'm going to give you, this looks like Glenner's bumper music, The Doors' Peace Frog. Then we're going to go into some Fox News, state news, some commercials, some weather, and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Biden joins picket lines with the United Auto Workers in Wayne County, Michigan, telling those on strike continue their protests.
UAW, you saved the automobile industry back in 2008 and before. Made a lot of sacrifices, gave up a lot, and the companies were in trouble. But now they're doing incredibly well. And guess what? You should be doing incredibly well, too.
Back in Washington, the federal government will run out of money this weekend unless Congress can act. House Republicans considering a so-called continuing resolution that would keep things going for 30 days, along with border security money. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy addresses at least five Republican holdouts who've spoken against the continuing resolution.
I don't understand how anybody would block the ability to secure the border. If they want to stand with President Biden on keeping the border...
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska lawmakers are continuing to push back against a proposed Kroger-Albertson merger that both companies announced last October. Alaska News Source reports last week Senator Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan penned a letter to Federal Trade Commission Chair Lina Khan outlining their concern about the merger. The lawmakers argue that the merger goes against the best interest of Alaskans and the state. Last month, Kroger announced it was going to be selling a total of 413 stores to CNS Wholesale Grocers. A total of 14 of the 35 Cars Safeway stores that are currently under the Albertson brand are included in the deal, but it's still unknown which ones will be affected. In a press release, Murkowski stated that Alaskans need to be confident that these uncertainties about access and price will be addressed. A spokesperson for Kroger said the opposite will be true, adding that the merger will mean lower prices and more choice for customers in more communities, higher wages, and more industry-leading benefits for associates. Alaska AFL-CIO, a labor union group in Anchorage, is also skeptical about how the merger could set up opportunities for Kroger to price gouge consumers.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
When it comes to running a city, well, experience counts. Lonnie Marnie has that experience. Lived in Fairbanks for decades, raising a family, owning a home. For the last 3 years, Lonnie's been on your city council, working with two mayors, staff, and the great employees of the city, balancing a budget and keeping property taxes low. On October 3rd, please vote for Lonnie Marnie, City Council Seat E, because experience counts.
I'm Lonnie Marnie. I would be honored to have your vote on October 3rd.
Paid for by Friends of Lonnie Marnie for City Council Seat E. The Fairbanks Clinic has been here for you since 1932, the year Amelia Earhart completed the first female nonstop solo flight across the Atlantic, the year BBC aired their first television broadcast. That was over 90 years ago, and they're still here, still taking care of you and your family. That's the Fairbanks Clinic in their beautiful building at the corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Call and schedule your appointment today with their family care practice. That's the Fairbanks Clinic, here for you since 1932.
Did you miss your favorite local show on KFAR Radio? Just log on to our website, KFARradio.com, and click the Archives tab to find all past episodes of shows like Problem Corner, Health Talk, Fairbanks Foodies, Alaska Realty Today, Shooter's Corner, and the Compos Outdoor Show. Hours of entertaining, informative, local programs produced exclusively for KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Online at KFARradio.com. We are KFAR, the heartbeats of Alaska.
Hello, Fairbanks. I'm Jimmy Cash. I'm running for re-election to the Borough Assembly for the same reason I ran 4 years ago, because this is my home. My family and I recognize the burdens and the blessings that come with living in this heart of community, as well as the impact that the borough government can have on our daily lives, whether it's taking our trash to the transfer site, using wood to heat our homes, or maintenance to local school buildings and education funding. That's why I'm asking for your vote on October 3rd.
This message paid for by Cash for Assembly, 1224 9th Avenue, Fairbanks, 99701.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Dr. Barbara Haney of the Borough Assembly in the studio with me, talking about a myriad of things with the borough. So, you've had an active year.
We have. Like I said, we talked about the appeal process to the Board of Equalization with the nonprofits. We stopped the zoning in remote areas, made it possible for landowners to divert trails off their lands. We gave staff a 6% increase because they lost a lot of hours by not having all these boards and commissions to attend. We gave the school... So now they have more money and more free time.
But yeah, give them the free time, not involvement.
Right, right. And we gave the school bus drivers a Christmas bonus, or it was a bonus around Christmas time. Some of them are calling it a Christmas bonus. We gave the school district a supplemental funding due to the efforts of April Smith, Maggie Matheson, and Melissa Burnett.
Yep.
I almost voted against it because Tim Dorn had, you know, in past times I've been persuaded by Tim Dorn because he's always for the music program. But this year, after being on the assembly, it's like, oh my God, this guy is a jerk. No wonder the borough ignores him. He is just not the person you want to send to the borough assembly. I mean, my gosh, that one night he just sat there and screamed in my ear, and I'm like, dude, I was on your side, but
now I'm not. Yeah,
I'm like, no, not now. You need to go home.
The repair work that April, Melissa, and Maggie did.
Serious repair work.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim, for almost stopping funding coming from the assembly because of your tactics.
Yeah.
You know, not giving respect, but just actually, wow, what you did.
Well, and it's like, I get so tired. You know, I have a PhD from the University of Notre Dame. I'm not like some, you know, kindergarten kid here.
You're Dr. Haney.
And I am in the acting. I do work as an economist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for this man to sit there and treat me like I'm like some kind of ninny, uneducated person just was so offensive. And besides that, even if I wasn't, I'm an elected person too.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to understand that while he's an elected person, so are we.
Yeah.
And the same people elected us. The other thing, you know, getting a little bit back for a second to education, we fast-tracked some of the school maintenance projects that were in the KIPP. And I actually had a couple of people who were who are running against Maggie and April and Michael Humphrey. I had a couple of those people actually, during the assembly meetings, actually took me to task for trying to get Lathrop's Kitchen funded. And Lathrop's Kitchen was in a really horrible situation. And I had a few friends who taught it.
And these are the people who...
Well, one of them was Bobby Burgess. He sat there in testimony and kind of berated me for funding the Lathrop Kitchen and some of the repairs that were going on at, you know, there were some, deferred maintenance issues mm-hmm. in some of the elementary schools, U Park being one, a couple other schools, I don't remember the list down.
And Bobby,
and we fired
for
them,
school board, was
and
berating
he came
you
in
for
and
it.
Berated us for it. And then he told me there were far worse crumbling buildings. And I asked him, I didn't know he was running for school board at the time. I said, well, do you have a list? I said, where are they at in the capital improvement plan? Let's get them in there and let's get them funded. He goes, well, I have a list. I said, okay. And I waited for the list and I waited for the list and I never received the list. So
he didn't have a list.
He didn't have a list. And I still, if he's got crumbling schools, I'm very happy to take a look at the list. But near as I could tell, berating me for having funded Lathrop's Kitchen is just silly. But we fast-tracked those projects in the KIPP. And anyway, there's a lot of great things that are going on.
Okay, that's not my phone.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So anyway,
you know, we had a lot of construction on the road outside here. So anytime the building shakes, you hear that noise. Okay, where's it coming from?
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No, that's the Juneau office calling me. They don't always know that we're on the air or anything. And I thought I turned it off. Anyway, it was Maggie, April, and Melissa that really got us got the school district that supplemental funding. So don't, and part of why we fast-tracked those maintenance programs in the KIPP and bought the new boiler at Hutchinson. This current majority that includes myself, Brett Roderman, Tammy Wilson, Jimmy Cash, and Aaron Lojeski, we care about schools. Don't, mm-hmm. whatever the other side says, you know, we act. Look at our actions. Our actions, I mean, no other assembly has given the school district a supplemental that I've ever seen in the history of the borough. In fact, when I first proposed doing that to the other members, oh, that's never been done before. We don't do that. I said, why not?
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean it can't be done. And
sure.
There's a time where it should be done. There's that time it should be done.
If we need to give
congratulations, Barbara, on that thought and bringing it through.
Yeah, I mean, Why not? The state gets supplemental funding. Why can't we? Yeah, you know, yeah, if they can play supplemental chicken, we can play supplemental chicken,
you
too.
You know, the city, we have budget revisions, and hey, what's
sure.
the
heck? It happens.
Yep.
Well, the climate action plan was originally in 2020, $79,700 out of the mayor's budget. And that was money left over from the DOD, just like the trails plan. That was DOD money that kind of fell into the borough hands. So, you know, and money shows up, money... you know, you allocate it as you need to allocate it. And if there was a need, well, okay, let's get it out there, you know. But anyway, there's some other issues that are going to go on. The homeless issue for me has been kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing with the homeless issue, in part of it, there's some drug use going on out there. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have some things holding up land development, and I want to try to bust those loose.
Yeah.
One of the things has been something called illegal subdivisions. And at first, when I heard about this, it's like, what are we talking about here? And I was just kind of, whatever. And then I started really drilling down on it, and I realized huge swashes of the borough are caught up in this whole legal subdivision issue. And the issue is this. Back in the 60s and 70s, there was this guy named Edgar Filio, I think was his name, in the 60s, who was the platting officer. And he used to hand out these platting waivers. And he'd just say, well, you know, if you were outside the city, he would waive your platting. So you just went to, well, because you got to remember, places like Davis Road were the boonies back then.
Yeah,
okay?
Well, I remember, but okay. What made me, you know, jerk my head up was handing them out.
Well, I mean, if he requested it, how's that? I mean, like, he wasn't in the street corner passing them out.
Yeah, but still, if you wanted it, there was no oversight of it. Here you go. No problem. Do it.
Well, because in his mind, you know, you were, like, way out of the city.
The boonies, yeah.
Yeah, you were out in the boonies. What do you do with your property, whatever? And so people would go to court, and, you know, they'd get divorced, they'd split the land, the judge would split the land. Well, he would give them a platting waiver. And then you would have other instances where somebody owed somebody money. Okay, so they would take land in settlement. So they'd carve out a chunk of the land and deed it out. Or maybe they had a kid who wanted their inheritance early. Well, they would carve out a corner and chunk it out. And they would go file the deed with the DNR, period. And Edgar Filio was kind of fine with that. And then as time progressed, there was an effort to try to get a handle on that. And I don't want to go. I heard so many wonderful stories from prior planning directors who are, by the way, still alive, some of them. And so anyway, now under the current regime, the idea is that the borough doesn't have the ability to allow subdividing of these lands because they were illegally platted. Well, were they?
No, hold it.
There was a waiver process at the time, and it went into the 70s.
I would have to say they were legally platted because they were acknowledged and they were given by public Fairbanks Forest Harbor officials the directive on how to do it.
Well, at that time, I think when Edgar Filio was around, I don't think there was actually a borough. I'm not quite sure, but he was the platting person. It was the Greater Fairbanks platting something.
Okay.
And you can see their ads in the old newspapers.
Okay.
And if you go to the legal notices, you'll see, Edgar Filio. And he would just run an ad. Here it is. Boom. Here it is. Boom.
Borough was incorporated, what, about 1964, right in there?
Yeah, 64, 62, somewhere in
there.
Anyway, the upshot is you, okay, so since that time, there are people who have died. They've sold the land. You know, when you go to buy a piece of land, you don't look to see.
You're looking at title.
You're
not looking at zoning.
You're not looking at planning. Well, you might, but you're not going to sit there and say, well, wait a minute, you know, Jody Smith in 1958 bought this land and sold a section of it out in 1961, and it got platted in 64, it got recorded in 64, and so now it's an illegal thing. No. Wait a minute. And so you've got these kind of situations being held, these kind of lands being held up for development, and it's costing people money. It's costing us a stock of affordable housing I mean, this is a big thing. There's hundreds. I was told there was thousands of acres in this borough. And I don't know if that was hyperbole or not, but I know every time I turn around, it's like, and let me give you a really good example. If you ever go down Lathrop and then you look at Pegger, and in between Lathrop and Pegger and Long Davis, you'll notice that there's a whole bunch of land there that's not developed. That's part of the area that's caught up in this, quote, illegal subdivision, unquote. I call it undocumented subdivision. And so these folks are not being allowed to subdivide their land. And it's costing. And if you ever want to get any of the surveyors on in this community to get on the show and talk about it, they will be very happy to talk about
it. I think I'll do that. If you're there, okay, you found the problem. Now you have to find the solution, Burrow. You found a problem. What's your solution?
Well, see, and what they've done in other jurisdictions is they have grandfathered these plots in. Said, okay, well, you know, because there's even banks who have got mortgages on these properties. Yeah. What are you going to do? I mean, there was one instance recently where they wanted the original property owner to sign off on it. The original property owner died in like 1973 or something and is buried in Snoqualmie, Washington.
You'd love to. You'd love to be able to sign off on this.
And had no heirs. That's why it was plotted the way it was. So anyway, this is
a conundrum.
The deal is they do have platting authority. They are just denying that platting authority. I don't know. There's a lot of discussion right now on how to handle this. I've got my opinion on how it should be handled. I think we should just grandfather them all in. Let's let these lands get developed, get a stock of housing out there.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you today, just $6. Get your medium cheese or pepperoni pizza, only $6. Oh yeah, hot from the oven, fresh and fast. We know you're coming, so it's in the oven, fresh and fast. Customer Appreciation Day is today. One day only, medium cheese or pepperoni, just $6. Carry out only, fresh and fast.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
October 3rd is school board elections, and Michael Humphrey needs your support. He's a Marine and a Purple Heart recipient. Okay, yeah, that means he eats crayons, but so do your kids, so he can relate. And he'll stop at nothing to protect them. Vote for Michael Humphrey on October 3rd.
My name is Michael Humphrey. I'm a husband, father of six, and United States Marine. I'd be honored with your vote on October 3rd.
Paid for by Humphrey for School Board, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99711.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
This week's offer is from Apricot Lane Boutique. This trendy new boutique is designed specifically for Fairbanks women with the styles, colors, and fabrics that suit us best. You'll get a $50 certificate for only $25 this Friday morning. Apricot Lane Boutique is a great gift idea, or keep it and use it for yourself. Once you have shopped Apricot Lane Boutique, you'll be back again and again. It's been years since we had a store designed for the women of the interior. You'll find Apricot Lane Boutique right next to AT&T, just off Murhar Avenue.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Highs around 46 this afternoon under mainly clear skies. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 27 tonight, overcast. Cloudy skies again tomorrow, high of 41. Clouds on the increase Thursday into Friday. Low 40s Thursday, mid 40s by Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Jennifer on the phone. Jennifer, how are you doing?
Fantastic. We're on the air?
Yes, we are on the air, and we're going to talk about the pension meeting that is going on tonight at 5:30 at the Alaska Pipeline Training Center.
It is. That will be a public meeting tonight at the Fairbanks Pipeline Training Center at 3605 Cartwright Court, Building C. That's off Van Horn, for those who might not know. That is open to the public, and it is hosted by the National Public Pensions Coalition Alaska Chapter that was formed in 2021, and it is going to be a partner hosted with AARP. We're going to be talking about what happened with the change from pensions in 2006, from defined contributions or defined benefits to defined contributions. Lots of questions will be answered from folks who do the number crunching. You know that I do not. They pay me to use my words, so I don't deal with the numbers. But many of the questions out there, you said that you'd be there yourself in your
class. I'm not going to be able to make it, and I let Nick Clark of the he invited me, and I let him know that I won't be able to make it, and if there's going to be another meeting, or if I can get a prospectus on an outline. But I've got a 5 o'clock and a 6 o'clock meeting tonight. My mayoral duties but it was announced last night at city council meeting by Councilwoman Tisdale, and that's where I told her I was invited, I can't go, but give me the information on it.
Wonderful that the announcement was made. Hopefully staff can be there so they can report back some of the numbers. I know that Dominic Lozano will be there to go over some of the numbers. One of the major questions has been, can we afford this or can we not afford not to do it?
I have the chief financial officer for the city of Fairbanks going in my stead.
Wonderful. I appreciate that. And thank you for the time to announce the meeting on the radio here. As I said, the meeting is open to the public. Several legislators will be there. We'll be discussing the bill that's moving through the legislature right now, SB 88, introduced by one of the senators from Anchorage to restore the defined contributions or defined benefits for the Alaska public pensions. Of course, that's going to have an impact to state and city official and employees there.
I appreciate it, but now, who are you bringing in next Friday?
Next Friday? Oh, yeah. October 6th. Yes. You always want to talk about the hunters.
Yes. So I got the Lottery House gang next Tuesday. Come on now.
we had scheduled a meeting to talk about the lawsuit with the archery in the schools. But today, we are talking about the public pensions coalition meeting co-hosted by AARP, and that will be tonight from 5:30 to 7. There will be food provided and drink, and there will be several panelists explaining the numbers and what it means to be able to recruit and retain employees who are skilled in some of the services that we all depend on from the state level to the borough level, whether they are processing your permits or plowing your roads, what that public pension restoration will mean to our communities, even if you are not one of the people who might be receiving a pension.
Well, I look forward to hearing about this. I wish I could be there. I know myself. I have to be the Planning Commission.
You won't be able to make it, Barbara.
I get the Planning Commission meeting.
I know. We get so many meetings.
And I worked on pensions at the state for the state of Illinois many years ago, and I turned around their pension system. Then I left, and it all went to nothing. But anyway. Pension issues have been a very big issue for me.
Jennifer, thank you very much for the phone call. And again, I can't make it tonight. Got the CFO, City of Fairbanks, there. And if there's another one, I'll be there. I'll try my best to be there, okay?
Thank you.
Bye. So, the borough, you have a horrendous real estate issue.
We do. We have tons of land. Not tons. We have quite a bit of land that needs to be put into private hands. Absolutely. There's a lot of it. Between the illegal subdivisions and then the land that's just owned outright, not being developed. There's a lot of land that there's a lot of possibilities for making some money with that and for promoting the private sector. There really is. And who you put on the, I'm going to tell you, the side of perhaps that would like the original climate change plan are also the same people that want to lock up land they want to keep it locked up because, you know, it's if there's a tree there, the tree's eating the carbon, and so this is a good thing. To me, it's like, well, you know, I can build a house, plant two trees,
hey, still eat sell carbon. Your carbon credits, Burrow.
Well, it's
put that in
bad.
Your climate action plan. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there was none of that in the climate action plan either. You know, it's like I kept looking for things I could support in there. I really did in that plan. I kept looking, couldn't find it. Had a hard time with that. Anyway, yeah. Between the illegal subdivision issue, and then just large tracts of land that are owned by the borough. There's a lot of opportunities for development and growth in this borough, and we really do have a beautiful, bright future here.
Yeah, of course we do.
And it's just sometimes what happens, and I even fall into this myself. You're in office too long. You got to get out and walk in the trees a little bit, or get out among the people again. And
sounds like Tim Duran.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, he's another one that's just so divorced from everyday families. You know, I'm a great-grandmother. I told you today. Mm-hmm. I have a great-granddaughter arriving. There's number 8.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, when I've worked in service at the state, I've also taken time away. Mm-hmm. And then I come back, and then I take time away. I've got this informal rule. When I start feeling myself out of touch with people, it's time to go back and be one of the people.
You know, I was on city council for 6 years, and I took 2 years off.
Mm-hmm.
I got refreshed. And that is a very persistent state of Alaska group that keeps calling you, Dr. Haney.
Well, there's this... A couple of years ago, I went in for a minor procedure, and my phone kept going off. And she goes, well, the state will not collapse if you turn off your phone.
There,
but it will if I turn off my voicemail.
There you go.
So, no, I anyway, yeah, there's, like I said, there's a lot of things that are out there. I just can't believe we were going to ban natural gas with the Army coming online natural gas pipeline coming in. And
I so appreciated your community perspectives. It was a community perspectives. It was not a professional, personal hit piece.
Right. Those things just are not productive.
Yeah.
You just can't get involved in the name calling and whatnot.
Yeah, it was fun because we had made arrangements to do this, to talk about the differences, and also there's a community perspective, and I said, I see it. Here it is. Perfect segue for our show. I see exactly what she was talking about.
Right. And let me give you guys...
We got about a minute left.
One last thing. I'm not against recycling, but our recycling center costs about $700,000 a year, and we only earn $77,000 on it. You know, I look at that, and I go... Gosh, that was Nordale Elementary.
Yeah.
So, you know, if nothing else, that's just money that should be in the pockets of people.
Isn't there a private enterprise that can do it for you?
Well, you know, and that's kind of a thing here. So I keep wondering in my mind, how can I better serve the taxpayers? When I look at that kind of thing, I think, do people really want their property taxes going like this? So.
Nope.
That's what I always think. Whose land am I taking?
Dr. Haney, thank you very much for being
thank
on the
you.
Show. Fairbanks, that is our show for today. I do not know who's going to be on tomorrow, but it'll be fun, and we'll get someone there. You have a great Tuesday.